Hey, welcome to the Carson Anderson program. Outdoors again, as we are at Comerica Park. Tigers wrap up the series with the Twins. Hello, Scott.
Hello, Doug.
How have you been since I last saw you, I don't know, what?
About 14 hours ago?
Yeah, something like that.
I'm doing well. I'm recovering a little bit. I was stunned when I got home.
Yeah.
How much pain I was in, because this is the first round of golf I played this year.
Yeah.
I thought that I stretched reasonably well before I left the house to go yesterday. Even afterwards, you know, kind of stretching out a little bit. But I sat down to watch the baseball game, and when I got up to get myself a glass of water, I felt like I was in a car accident. I mean, I'm not kidding. Everything, feet, knees, hips, shoulders, dude, back, everything, eyelids, everything.
It was. We received warnings from people who were working outside about how miserable it was. We mentioned yesterday on the air we were going to play golf with Stoney, and Stoney's the best. Stoney,
awesome host.
Yeah, talk about his fascinating swing that Stoney has. But he plays with it.
It works.
He looks more like a man falling off a trapeze, but it works for him.
You shot better than both of us.
Shot better than us. But he's consistent, and that's what matters. And look, we have fun. That's actually what matters. So it was hot, and it was humid, and we played eight holes, and at the eighth hole, the siren sounded, as you mentioned. So we go inside. We have a couple of beers. Come back out, and now it's back to being hot. Everything's been rained on, and the humidity was through the roof.
Oh, my God. Yeah, the first eight holes, before the horn sounded, was it warm? Yeah. Was it unbearable? Absolutely not. Yep. No, it was fine. But then,
I was having a decent round, and then it all went to hell in a handbasket. I mean, it was one of those nightmares where I just couldn't hit the ball. Gator, you hit the ball very far. Your issue off the tee was that you'd hit it into the rough. I think you hit one fairway all day.
I hit. There were two fairways. Yeah.
He hits it a long way, and then the challenge is finding it.
Well, that was strange because normally
it's not like you hit it into the woods.
No, I have a tendency to pull the ball a little bit, but when that grass was thick, the rough was thick, I could not find a ball, and that was very frustrating. But nonetheless, it was a good time.
It had gotten to the point after about 13 where I'm like, is there a cart girl out here? Because I just need to sad drink. Like I was ready to sit in the cart and sad drink for a couple holes because it had just all unraveled. But it was a great time, and bottom line is, it's great to identify that you have to work on things, to acknowledge what you have to work on and work on them.
Is that how you're looking at it?
Yeah, the summer of Doug is off to a terrible start, but it's...
Interesting wildlife on the course yesterday.
Oh, the hawk?
Well...
And the turtle? That wasn't a turtle. That was a dinosaur, man.
It was a tortoise.
That thing, you almost stepped on it. I thought it was like a little decoration, like somebody put a stone turtle. The thing was, for those watching on camera, I mean, I'm not exaggerating. It was this big, right?
Yeah, it was, it was close to 2 feet.
Yeah.
Close to 2 feet.
Whatever it is.
I said close to.
Yeah. It was a massive, massive dinosaur, prehistoric turtle on this course.
I didn't see it initially. Like we were over by a tee box, I think on the second or third tee, and then you're like, a gator. I'm like, what? He goes, look. And I looked down after I had sat back in the golf cart. I'm like, oh my God, look at this thing.
Yep.
And you said I was like within inches of stepping on it. And I don't know, how did I miss that?
Yep.
That thing is massive. And then later on, I'm trying to hit this shot out of the rough, and there was this overhanging tree. And in the tree was a hawk.
Yeah, and a hawk was...
What is this?
Circling you. Like
he's
he was
just,
going
he's just
into...
hanging in the tree, and he's making... He sounded like a duck.
Yeah.
He's making, like, quacking noises. I'm like, what? Hey, man, we're good. I got no beef with you.
I do wish... I mean, for anybody who was working outside yesterday or outside for an extended period of time, a fascinating experience would have been to step on the scale before the round and step on the scale after the round. But good time was had. Good time was had.
Well, if you're hydrating, then it won't be much of a difference.
Yeah, and we drank some water, but anyway.
Like I drank a lot when I came home.
So, yeah, the Tiger game was a little weird, truncated start. Not sure why they started the game. We actually had it on the speaker, and we're listening to it, and a few pitches in, they stopped the game. and threw it back to the studio. And Rieger was like, why'd they start this game? And I'm like, I don't know why they start
this game. That's got to be so aggravating to A.J. Hinch in particular because, you know, he's got to know, okay, I got to warm up my pitcher. He's got to get ready. And, you know, it makes a difference. And Valdez goes out there and starts, and then they say, oh, well, let's put the tarp out there. And, like, wait a minute. And now you go through however long the rain delay was, over an hour, right? Like an hour and 10 minutes or something like that. That's a long time. A long time to sit, and then your starter's got to come out there and pitch again. I mean, a lot of instances you're going to see with a rain delay that the starter, if he has to start the game and then there's a delay, he's not going to come back.
Right.
So I give Valdez a little bit of grace yesterday in that he didn't have his best stuff. He was fine, but, you know, then the three-run home run to Buxton is that's a little bit of a backbreaker. But I thought it was unfair to begin with that why on earth is he – why are they starting the game?
They obviously did – I'm sure they would sit back and tell you, well, we didn't see this pop-up storm coming. And I guess us being outside – we were outside and we didn't see. It wasn't supposed to rain. Wasn't supposed to rain.
But it looked like it was going to.
And then suddenly, it grew ominous. Things got ominous. And we were probably. It was probably about 10 minutes before they blew the horn, where it turned quickly. So that can happen. Additionally, there's been a massive cutback. I heard weather people post about this. There's been a massive cutback in weather balloons. And it's affected their ability to predict the weather, which was already sketchy, but it's like us predicting games. It's not an exact science, but they're getting less feedback than they ever have. So I have more grace for weather people now than I did. But once the game started...
All right, Luderman, you catch a break.
Yeah. Yep. once the game did start, it just felt like one of those games where they were... They couldn't get the big out when they needed, or couldn't get the big hit when they needed, and Valdez didn't have his best stuff.
No, but...
But as you said, cut him a little bit of slack.
Yeah, and the bats missed some opportunities in the game, too. But look, it's one game. I think what we're looking at is a stretch in June where they're 6-2 in June. It looks pretty good. I'm still encouraged to go out there today and see if they can come away with a series win because that's all you're looking for.
Yeah, the realistic goals. And AJ said it this morning for people who heard it. He's trying to make sure that one loss is they react to one loss appropriately. Anytime they lose a game, it's one loss. Avoid it being a massive reaction is I think were his exact words. In the meantime, the newsworthy stuff is he's meeting with Scooble this morning. He's meeting with Casey Mize. He's meeting with Kenley Jansen. JB threw yesterday, and we'll get an update on his status. And AJ wouldn't commit, so unless to Scooble's return this weekend, unless there's been breaking news since we hit the air. But
yeah, it sounds like he wants to. He just doesn't want to mislead anybody. And thinking, you know, we're leaving it open. We got a lot of meetings to talk with a lot of people today. We're gonna see, you know, because they got to. Hey, how you feeling today after your bullpen session? And I'm sure once that conversation takes place, that you know you might see a tweet released later on today.
Yep, and we're crossing our fingers. But I thought the guys did a great job, and I really appreciate AJ's ability to answer critical questions about what he does. And the guys asked him specifically about his habits to pinch hit. Tigers pinch hit more than any team in the league. And fans get frustrated and call us when it doesn't work. And they asked two very pointed questions about that. And if you have had problems and issues with how AJ pinch hits for guys, he basically is answering your questions. And we'll replay it because I think it's really interesting to hear what he had to say about that. And we'll get to that coming up today at 10:20. In the meantime, I don't know what to call it, whether it's the greatest comeback or the greatest choke job, gag of a lead in NBA history. Last night's Game 4 was something between the detestable Knicks and the annoying Spurs.
I was not happy. I was not happy at all.
Well, somebody sitting back in our studios is outright pissed today. And we will get to that a little bit later on. Oh, yeah. And we're unaffiliated fans, right? We're just watching games now because it's the NBA Finals. But as an unaffiliated observer, it's interesting in a game like that what emotions organically bubbled to the surface? Because I bet my emotion was different from yours and different from Kang's of how I was reacting. But we will get to that coming up in the 11 o'clock hour. Hey, if you've been critical of AJ's pinch hitting and what he does with his lineups and his lefty-righty stuff, he talks directly to you, and you'll hear it coming up next. The car, Scott Anderson outside Comerica Park. If you want to see our setup, go to twitch.tv or youtube.com, and you can video stream the show and see where we are broadcasting live from on our set just outside. You know where the big Tigers are. We'll be here leading up to this afternoon's game as the Tigers try and win this series with the Minnesota Twins. Much better baseball of late and much more interesting, to say the least, after a dreadful, dreadful month of May. Much better in June. And look, we usually like to replay the best of what AJ had to say, and we usually do it a little bit later leading into the game, but we thought today he said some really specific things that might allow people to respond to what he has to say, because I think he addressed, Gator, would you say it's the number one criticism, AJ, is people get upset and frustrated with his pinch hitting decisions?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's pretty close to being number one.
But this is what he's done. Like, this isn't like suddenly
this
year.
No, it's nothing new. No, this is how he operates, and he's had an incredible amount of success doing that. This year, it's a little different.
Yeah, we will get to that coming up in a moment. But first, when you see the Tigers play in May, and you see him play them in June, and what are they, 6-2 in June after 6-22?
Whatever it was, 5-21 or
whatever
something.
Whatever it was, dreadful, dreadful May. What is the biggest difference? Here's what the Tiger manager told our morning show. You know, the funny thing about it is listening to him talk, and there were other questions about, you know, guys coming back and how it's changed the lineup. He's so looking at it from a perspective of, here's how I can make up my lineup now. I have a lot more options. And I can put guys where they belong in the order, like moving guys down in the order, protecting certain hitters. There's more people to pitch around for an opposing team. And it's just, all in all, he's got way more tools now that, I mean, he didn't say, guys are back, duh, but he kind of alluded to it. The two names he mentioned there were Gleyber and Karp, who missed most of May.
Yeah, and it changes everything else around, because you have – now this is where the position flexibility really comes into play, right? Because you've got your almost full complement of players back, and now you can – like I think he even said about McKinstry, move him anywhere you want.
Meanwhile, he also mentioned McGonigal at third. A year ago, we were talking about the scouting report was that he could hit. It was just, can he play the field at the major league level? And he's answering that criticism.
Well, the game last night, Kevin McGonigal made two or three fantastic plays. I mean, the defense was really flashing last night. Gleyber Torres made some great plays at second base, and McGonigal at third was great. And you know, we'll see where McGonigal ends up like 5 years from now. Is he going to be the everyday third baseman, the everyday shortstop? I suspect it's probably more third than short, given what they have with the prospects and where they expect them to play. But right now, it doesn't matter. McGonigal's picking, and they need that. And having a good defense is a really good foundational piece to move forward.
Okay, you've all seen the Tigers over the last couple of years. It's not a surprise. there are times, literally for long stretches of play, where they have played like the best team in baseball. Whether they are or they aren't, like that last year, I think we said it.
Right, their win-loss record will show.
Their win-loss, we said last year a bunch, they're not the best team in baseball, they're just acting like it. And they were unbelievable last year, and then there's stuff like last month. What is the explanation for these wild swings of good and bad play over the last couple of seasons?
So it's interesting because he gets, of course he gets frustrated, but he can't really show his frustration in front of the team because that's just feeding into bad negativity and the negative feelings, and you can't have that. You're trying to bring this team back up, you know, keep things grounded. But, you know, that's an honest moment for AJ Hinch.
Yeah,
right,
I mean, whatever cards he was trying to play in May, regardless of the injuries, he was struggling. And his line this morning, trying to not have a massive reaction to one loss. Because, I mean, they just kept losing in May. Like, what, you know, whether it was change the pregame buffet or the mojo or any speech or anything, you know, I think he got frustrated. Whatever card he was trying to play wasn't working. All right, let's get to the pinch hit stuff, which is the biggest criticism that we get on a day in, day out. I said, why does he do this? Why does he do that? Just going over some of the numbers here. The Tigers pinch hit at bats have 85. That is the most in Major League Baseball. Toronto is next with just 72 pinch hit at bats. The Yankees have the fewest with 29.
Wow, that's it?
Yeah. The Tigers, 85 pinch hit at bats, the most in Major League Baseball. The batting average of Tiger pinch hitters is a robust 129, which is 28th in baseball. The OPS for Tiger hitters as pinch hitters, 426, 27th in baseball. The number of runs batted in spite, well, they got 11 RBIs, which is tied for fourth in baseball. But given they have more at-bats,
right,
more opportunities, this
the OPS numbers, the batting average numbers, and then the sheer number of at-bats, those, that's a telling story.
Yep. Now, last year, in terms, they were top 10 in batting average as pinch hitters, and they were ninth in OPS as pinch hitters. And last year, they led the majors by a wide margin with 181 pinch hit at bats. The results were way better a year ago, as they were amongst the most productive teams in the game in terms of pinch hits.
Yeah, I think Jermai Jones had like a 970 OPS. Mm-hmm. Against left-handed pitching last year.
2 years ago, they were top five in batting average in pinch hit situations, top 13 in OPS. So
guys like Andy Abania is getting the job done. Yeah.
They're doing the same thing they've always done, haven't had the same results. Here's what they were. AJ was asked, are you going to get less aggressive with the pinch hit stuff because it isn't working as much? Here's what he had to say. Thank you. So there's a couple things about that. One is when you understand how much what he's thinking about, maybe the biggest thing that I like is he added about lefties for them, how much they've pitched lately. He doesn't think they'll be as available today. Right? That's the level of thinking he's doing when he's making out the lineup and making choices. And it's clear they're going to keep doing it. He basically said, now he did add the line, we need to get some production. Translation, yes, I'm going to keep doing it. Guy's got to come through for me. But this is like Dan Campbell's fourth down decisions.
It is.
This is like you live with it, or you die with it. You
kind of
got to get – this is who he is. We'll play one more about Jamai Jones coming up next. And I want your responses, people. Like, does it make sense to you when he explains it that way? Or do you just – you just flatly reject it because it hasn't worked as well this year as it has in the past, and we gave you the numbers. It's Carson Anderson outside Comerica Park, 97.1. All right, it's Carson Anderson outside Comerica Park. By the way, there is breaking Detroit Tiger news as, hey, guess what? Scooble's going to pitch Saturday at Cleveland.
There we go.
Going to Jason Beck, MLB, is going to pitch Saturday.
That's awesome. Yep. I think we were expecting the news. I think A.J. Hinch wanted to confirm it, but he couldn't quite confirm it this morning until he met with Tarek Skubal and the rest of the guys. Now it's confirmed. He will start Saturday. So how much time has he missed? 5 weeks?
Something like that.
I mean, that's incredible. That's modern medicine, man. That's awesome. Good for him that it wasn't a major issue.
Yep.
And they can get him back and, you know, get this keep this run going. 6-2 in June. Let's go. Let's win the series today and take over Cleveland.
Okay. Look, the AJ sound I thought was really good this morning, and he does a great job of addressing the criticisms, because these guys are asking specifically, are you going to gear back your pinch hitting? It isn't working. And he basically said, no, I think it's going to work. I think it's going to work for us. It hasn't. They're in the bottom third of baseball in pinch hit success rate. They've spent the last 2 years being in the top third in baseball in pinch hit success rate. It is what it is, right? I mean, it's what he does. This is like Dan Campbell on fourth downs. And I will tell you, when it comes to criticism of AJ or Dan Campbell or any coach, I look at something that's illogical. And you do something that feels illogical in the moment, because I don't want to just argue it based upon result, right? The result, you could do something logical and it doesn't work. That doesn't mean it was a bad decision. Like, you know, because everything's not 1,000. You don't bat 1,000.
Right.
You don't have 1,000% success rate. So arguing the result with the result as the reason why you're making the argument, well, it's a very safe place to be. When you do something completely logical in the moment, That's where I'll come in and say, this doesn't make any sense. When AJ explains it, he makes it sound logical. He does.
It's logical. No, it's completely logical, but I will take issue. And I don't think he'd have a problem with it, but I want to play the other
Jamai
cut before
Jones.
I say
because Jamai Jones is a guy that we've been talking about. His ineffectiveness this year has been over and over and over again, and one of us in particular, not me, has been really critical and had enough with Jamai Jones.
Nothing personal.
It's not working this year as much as it has.
He was
in the
great
past.
Last year, and I loved watching him pinch it last year.
And they got a guy down at AAA, a journeyman that they could call up.
A bunch of guys at AAA.
I know a lot of people want to see Max Clark, Max Anderson, want to see the kids. Those guys aren't going to come up here to be part-time players.
Right.
You need to season them and season them and season them until they're ready. If they come up here and are part-time players, A, there's a good chance they're not ready, and so they'll be ineffective. And B, you'll stop their growth
when
they're sitting on the bench.
Yeah.
So you go get the veteran 4A guy who's hot. In particular, the guy you keep bringing up is?
Corey Jolks.
But Jamai Jones is struggling, and AJ was asked specifically, what about Jamai? Because the okay, what do you make of that response?
All right, so, again, I understand the logic behind it, and I applaud him. And I don't want AJ Hinch to change his thoughts. If you want to keep using pinch hitters, that's fine. What I want, what I'd like to see, because what I want doesn't matter, but what I'd like to see is a change in who you're using. It's that simple. It's not the philosophy. The philosophy I completely agree with. You know, when he talks about, hey, we want an advantage at bat, yeah. Okay, lefty-lefty for Kerry Carpenter isn't very good, but lefty-righty for a guy who can hit lefties makes sense. Go get a guy who can do that. And right now, Jamai Jones can't. And so I take two things out of this. First of all, it confirms what I keep saying is that get somebody else to do it. But also, and this is me just reading maybe too much into what he just said, I feel like the experiment with Jamai Jones is about to end if he doesn't get it done against Cleveland and Houston, because he's going to get plenty of opportunities to show that he can hit lefties because of all the lefties that are going to be coming his way.
Bingo. He said, literally, we need him to produce. And I think that is code for, you better start hitting. And I've said this all the time throughout the years. One thing you've discovered is that teams, organizations, coaches are way more patient than fans, way more patient than fans, and still more patient than media. Like they will let things play out almost across the board way longer, and sometimes they're rewarded for it and sometimes they're not. And an example is, I was thinking back to some of the criticisms of Dylan Dingler over the past couple of years. Can't hit. Well,
yeah, and I'm not somebody who's rooting for my own narrative.
No,
when it comes
I know you well enough to know that's the case.
Yeah, and other people are going to be different, but for me, I'm not rooting for my narrative. It's just it's something that's an observation I've made. It's something that I think is in our position. We have to call things out and be critical at times, and this is one of those things. Nothing would make me happier if Jamai Jones goes 5 for his next 5 with 2 home runs and a couple doubles, and all of a sudden shows that that's the reason why, and that JJ's patience is going to pay off. I hope that's the case. You know, until it's time for him to make the change. But, you know, would I have made the change a while back? I would have. But I understand his philosophy and why he's sticking with it based on a longer track record of what Jamai Jones has been in the major leagues. But this year it's been different. Either pitchers have adjusted to him because they've seen enough at-bats and the book comes out on the player, or Jamai Jones isn't the one making the adjustments, or he's just, I don't know. You know, I can appreciate him saying, oh, he hit the ball hard last night, but the results aren't there, and if the results continue to not be there, you're going to have to make a change.
So, you know, looking in the mirror, I think one thing, unfortunately, that I get prone to is here you got a guy who's really honest, makes it sound logical, and I'm like, okay, I'm on board, but it doesn't mean it's going to work. Like, I appreciate his honesty a ton. I guard myself against saying, because of that honesty, I love the guy. But I feel like he does a great job of opening the window into what he's thinking.
Yeah.
But, look, it's the number one criticism we get of A.J. Hinch. He addressed it this morning with very pointed questions from our morning show. I want to know what you, the Tiger fan, thinks of that, of what he just had to say. Do you go, okay, sold me on it, or, you know what, it doesn't matter. It's a bottom-line business, and the results haven't been there. And, you know, he is betting that the results will be there. He is betting that they will start to get more production out of the guys that the cards that he plays when he plays them. 248-539-9797. Got a bunch of texts on this. Want your phone calls as well. Your reaction to what A.J. Hinch had to say today. Hey, news scoop will back. Coming back Saturday. That is the breaking news this morning. A.J. said on the morning show he would meet with Scoobal. And sure enough, as we hit the first break today, news was out. Scoobal's good, ready to go. And he makes his return in Cleveland on Saturday. It's Carson Anderson here on 97.1. All right, tons of feedback coming in regarding the A.J. Hinch comments about how he handles pinch hitting. Do you have any more comments before we get to this?
No.
You ready to go?
Sure.
All right, here we go.
Let's hit it.
Actually, I love A.J., but one thing he said kind of blew my mind, that he's not really focusing on results with some of these guys. Come on, man. That's from an unnamed texter.
Well, I think it's not always of course, bottom line is results, but I think it's okay if – if somebody's struggling right now, are they doing the right things to get themselves where they're getting results? Are they right swing paths, swing at the right pitches? Are they extending themselves? Are they hitting the ball hard and just having some bad luck? I think all that plays a role into why you're going to continue to be patient. And it sounds like that's exactly why he's being patient with Jamai Jones, because he thinks he's getting some decent at-bats from him. It's just the ball's not falling onto the turf.
The question really comes down to my criticism is probably – not about how he's using Jamai Jones, and I think you're the same way. It's, are we sure he's the best person in the organization to fulfill this role?
Yeah,
that's it.
I totally agree with the philosophy, and I think that's one of the things that makes A.J. Hinch great. And here's the other thing, Doug. When you get back Torres and Carpenter, it changes your roster a little bit. There's DJ.
Our guy. What's up, DJ?
Good to see you.
How you doing?
But when you get those two guys back in the lineup, it gives you better options. It should give you better options because now you've brought two guys into the roster, two guys come off the roster, right?
Yep.
So here we are, but the last guys on the roster right now are Wenzel Perez, Zach Short, and Jamai Jones.
Yep.
You know, Matt Vierling, nobody's got a problem with Matt Vierling is going to come in a pitch situation because we've seen Matt Vierling, you know, deliver sometimes, more than just sometimes. But Wenzel Perez is batting himself back into the good graces of Tiger fans. Zach Short, not so much, but he's defensive. You understand why he's in there for a defensive replacement. But it's Jamai Jones is the guy who's there specifically to hit left-handers, and he's not getting it done. And if he's not getting it done, bring somebody up who can have the opportunity to do it. If they're doing it in Toledo, which there are several guys that are doing it in Toledo, led by Corey Jalks, as I said, maybe just give him a chance. And that could be way off base. Maybe there's a million reasons why absolutely not Corey Jalks. But I thought – I'm trying to read into the logic of A.J. Hinch and Scott Harris. I'm not trying to – you know, I need to bring up somebody who's not going to be blocked at the major league level, is just going to sit every couple days and, you know, could get one at bat every game, and it's, you know, in a situation where it's just situational hitting. And you're going to – you know, stall their growth as a player. That's why I'm not saying Max Clark. I'm not saying Max Anderson for these guys. I'm not saying, you know, anybody else. I'm saying specifically a guy who's got major league at-bats in his career, somebody who's, I think he's 30 years old, so he knows what his role would be on this team, which would be situational hitter. He's effectively the same thing as what Jamai Jones was a couple years ago.
Next text, I don't like the pinch hitting. I would understand it more if you had quality pinch hitters and I don't mean guys that have to hit 400. Talking, having guys that don't strike out, it's kind of like having a three-point shooter on an NBA team. Everybody's got a couple of them except for the Pistons. The Tigers just need to put some guys on the bench that are professional hitters, and the guys that they have are not contact hitters. They're streaky hitters, and you don't want that in a pinch hitter. To a certain degree, I think everybody in Major League Baseball is streaky. Like, one of the terms that has always frustrated me through the years is people will tell you somebody's good, they're just not consistent. And I'm like, you do understand that that's what makes you good is consistency. The best are consistent. And if you're consistent, you're probably going to start, not be used in a pinch hit role. Pinch hitters, the guys you want as pinch hitters are specific against certain pitchers. They have value against certain, usually it's lefties against righties and righties against lefties. It's not always the case. And, you know, the idea of they need to get a whole bunch of, like, or a couple of guys that are consistently good in the pinch hitting role, I'm thinking guys like that usually start. Those guys usually aren't available.
Sure. But, you know, when I think about it, when I talk about the last three guys on the roster that I just mentioned with Short, Perez, and Jamai Jones, two of those guys have position flexibility.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
The third one doesn't.
Yeah.
So if I'm going to sub one out for specifically only a bat, because how many times does Jamai Jones stay in the game when he's, you know, they switch DHs or whatever, you know, he's there for the at bat.
I'm not against what this guy's saying. Let me be clear. I just think what he's asking for, I'm not sure how many teams in Major League Baseball have what he's asking for.
Tigers had a luxury. When they had Abanez, when Abanez was doing it well and Jamai Jones was doing it well, that was kind of a luxury to have those guys off the bench and killing left-handed pitching. Here we go.
Top 10 in the last couple of years in batting average and OPS for pinch hitters. Right now, everything they're doing is bottom third. Is A.J. Hinch pinch hitting similar to Dan Campbell's fourth down attempts? People love them when they work and hate them when they don't.
We've actually made
that point a little bit earlier. I don't mind pinch hitting with a reliable bat, but when is enough enough with Jones? How long into the year are we going to go with him hitting 150? It's from Brady and Port Huron. It's a valid question, and it feels like
it's going to get answered real quick. It
when he specifically said we need production from him, and
we got lefties coming up against Cleveland and Houston.
Cleveland and Houston series where he thinks they're going to see a lot of lefties. I don't know that he basically said two series, but Brady, I wonder, to specifically answer Brady's question, I wonder if it's, when do they play Houston? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? I think it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday next week. Might be a week from today.
So you got six games. I don't know how many at-bats you're expecting to see Jamai Jones get in the six games. I imagine he may even, I haven't looked ahead to see if they got left-handed starters. Which would give you a couple at bats in a game, but yeah, I imagine you might get a handful of at bats here if he goes 0-for-5 with several strikeouts or unproductive outs. That's the other thing. It's the situation you're in. If you're not going to get on base, have a productive out. And now, a lot of these times, you may not have that opportunity because maybe there's nobody on base or there's already two outs. You know, but I think we're seeing a large enough sample size that it's time to make a move.
I keep saying it over and over. Logical doesn't mean it's right. It needs to be the right choice.
Oh, okay.
Just
make it right? So it's guesswork?
I don't know what else. If you have logic on your side, that to me is all you can do. You put your guys in the best position to be successful. It's not working right now. There's a long track record of it having some success, pretty good success.
But what kind of comment is that?
I don't know, man.
Right. I don't care if it's
I'm not
logical,
sure how
just
to,
make it right.
I'm not sure how to debate that. I feel like if you think, because is this person acknowledging, well, what AJ's doing is logical, but I'm mad because it's not working. Is that exactly?
I think it's exactly what he's saying. I think we're all on the same page if that's the argument.
Yep.
Which begs you to say, time to give somebody else a chance. But I'm reading into it. Does it sound like Jamai Jones is going to get another week trial here with a bunch of lefties that are potentially going to come his way?
Kind of what it sounded like.
And we'll see next week.
Chuck writes in, good morning. I've heard AJ explain the pinch hitting thing, or excuse me, pinch hitting BS multiple times today. He doesn't make sense. You gave the facts. The right-handed pinch hitters aren't performing this season. It's a big enough sample size. He isn't putting them in the best situation to win. Be smarter, AJ.
So the counter to that is going against the logic, right? And that is let Carpenter, let Colt Keith, let them hit again.
Well, I think there actually is truth to that. They're going to go down with go down swinging. Their philosophy, whoever they are, they're going to be authentic to themselves.
To an extent, I don't know why I'm saying this. Maybe it's more of a feel thing. Did the Lions go for it on fourth as much last year? Did Dan Campbell change a little bit during the season?
I'd have to go back and look, but it's a valid question. I think it's
all situational. It's not you're automatically doing it.
Well. But you better learn from your mistakes, too, yeah. Right? I mean, I think even – how long have we been doing this show?
19-plus years.
Okay. We still evolve. We still do things differently than we've done in the past.
Yeah.
Kang, are we evolving or are we devolving? Oh, we got 10 seconds left. Kang's answer to our ear was 10 seconds. All right. We'll talk some NBA next, 97.1.